White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 733. Happy July 4th! Could Auburn experience some big fireworks on the recruiting trail soon? The AU Wishbone is next!
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How are you?
Good. I'm very excited. There's stuff going on. There's a lot of news to talk about. A lot of little things here and there. Kind of a potpourri edition for the 4th of July. I would say weekend, but it's kind of middle of the week, 4th of July, which is always weird. How are things going in Virginia with your upcoming 4th of July Independence Day festivities?
I can say that at this moment, there are both fireworks being set off by the neighbors on Monday, July 3rd, and thunder and lightning happening. So you may hear both in the background of this podcast.
You know, we just went through the 19th century here in my my estate here. We lost our electricity during a really weird little, like, micro tornado thing that came through when we weren't even home. We were off about 15 miles away having dinner. And we went straight over there and ate. Everything was fine. Came back, and half the town was blown over. The big fake cow at our grocery store across the street was standing up on its back legs and rear end straight up in the air, which is really weird. And I said the funniest thing was that, and there are trees down everywhere, electricity down. The funniest thing was that we have a really junky Dollar General in our town that's kind of an eyesore. Like, they put all kind of stuff for sale out in front of it. And all that stuff was blown away. It was great. They were all out there. All their employees were out running around picking up stuff out of the highway and the parking lot and everything. I'm like, if they could just leave it this way. But yeah, trees were down, power lines were down, and we went without power for 3 days. And let me just tell you, that sucked, because we had to throw away all of our food in the refrigerator and the freezer and everything. And just awful. You do not want to go without power for 3 days. And I couldn't do any work on our upcoming book, because it's being researched online with newspapers and stuff. So we were basically sitting around with candles, you know, like Little House on the Prairie. It was not fun.
Play some cards, play some board games, read a book, a paper book.
Oh, I did that. In fact, I did some research on using our paper resources that you and I collected, and some that I have purchased since then. So I got a little bit done, but it was just very frustrating. And plus, it was like 100 degrees in my house. Because this was like the worst days you could lose electricity. It was so hot. And then I was also terrified for 3 days that my basement was going to flood because the pump wasn't working. And I think our house is built right on top of an aquifer or something. So fortunately, the palatial studios did not flood. I would have been very upset. And so here we are, back in business again. Power came back on yesterday late. And so we're able to do the show. Thank goodness. So here we are, and it's back to in the 70s in my house instead of the hundreds again. So, well, anyway, so let's see what's going on. Of course, the first thing we have to do every week now is check in on it's the Auburn Fun Meter, where we measure between a 0 and a 10 how much fun we are currently having as Auburn fans this week. And so I think last week we were both kind of around the middle, 5.5, something like that. We've been kind of stuck in the 5s and 6s pretty much, other than when we got like a good couple of recruit developments about a month ago. So where do you feel your Auburn fun meter currently is?
I'm going to say again, like a 5.5. I'm solid, but it's the depths of the off season. It's tough to get too excited.
Yeah, there just hasn't been anything big going on this week to move the needle, figuratively or literally. But we do have anticipation of things to come. So I'll go with a 5.5 as well. Because I feel like your baseline should always be like a 5, right? Just being an Auburn fan day in and day out, your baseline is a 5. And if things like, you know, in 2012, football season would have dragged us down to like a 1 or a 0. And then 2013, listen, the kick six.
You can go
was
back and listen to those 2012 podcasts and decide for yourself.
Decide for yourself, yeah. But then the next year, the kick six takes you all the way up to like a 10 or beyond, you know. So the five is kind of that baseline. It's kind of like, I think about those focus groups that like CNN and others do where the people have a dial that's stuck in the middle. And if they like something they hear, they turn it one way. And if they don't like it, they turn it the other. And then you always kind of end up back in the middle until you hear the next thing, right? So five is like the middle. And we can turn it down when things are bad and turn it up when things are good. So we're kind of 5.5 indicates things are about normal, maybe a little anticipation, a little excitement.
And I think that's very reasonable when we follow two major sports on this podcast. Neither one is in season.
Right. And there's not a lot happening right now. You know, like this time last year, our fun meter would have probably been like 4 or something, right? We'd have been, it would have just dragged down like a whole point just for all the dreading and the bad air, you know, just the clamoring, as they say on every closed caption thing. So, all right, well, let's go to the news and notes. And we got to start off with something that happened that's really tragic and unfortunate, but. A very well-known SEC star football player, Ryan Mallett, quarterback for Arkansas, kind of a prototype pro NFL quarterback, coached by Bobby Petrino, drowned in at the beach in, I guess, Gulf Shores, Destin area.
Yep.
Man, it's hard to imagine some big athletic person like that succumbing to the kind of thing that you have on the beach, like waves and riptides. And I don't know what for exactly what it was that got him, but that's what gets a lot of people.
Yeah. The tide is, you know, undefeated.
In
this kind of thing. And there's certain parts of the coast in the southeast United States where it's very dangerous and you got to be careful out there. And Mallett was a guy who, an early transfer. I mean, he went to Michigan and started his career there and then sat out a year in the old days and then played at Arkansas for Petrino. And we, you know, nobody who's an Auburn fan will ever forget the 2010 game where we played him, where he was absolutely unstoppable, it seemed like.
Well, for a while, then he got hurt. They brought in that backup that was really good, and he did just as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the game that kind of messed up. There have been a lot of star players for the teams that get hurt in Auburn games, and it's not like we're dirty or anything. It just seems like our defensive fronts are always really good, you know. And Nick Fairley and everybody on that team, they damaged a lot of quarterbacks. They did a lot of damage. Mallett really was a good quarterback, great passer. I just hate that anybody that should befall anybody. And I saw some people in one of the Auburn email groups talking about it, and a guy was saying that. He said, I would have died a few years ago, but he said, my dad once told me, if you get pulled out in one of those whirlpool things and it's, you know, the sawing currents rips you, won't let you come back up. He says, don't fight it because then you get worn out and then you drown. Mm-hmm. He said, what you got to do is just go with it. He said, keep angling back toward the beach when you can, but otherwise just float with it. And eventually, he says, you may be 3 miles down the coast when you come out finally, but you won't be dead.
Yes.
So that's good advice.
Stay parallel to the beach.
Yeah. Try to stay as close to the beach as you can, but don't wear yourself out just fighting to get right back to where you were. Let it carry you. That's what I was told, right? Let it carry you.
No, that's good advice.
And keep your energy for when you can finally break loose. So, yeah, I've felt really strong currents, but thank goodness I've never been caught in anything like that. So, speaking of bad developments, it looks like stuff's going on at Georgia. What do we know about Georgia's scandals?
So I think there's a couple of things going on at Georgia. One is kind of the drag racing stuff and the high speed stuff, and then the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's been doing a investigative report about sexual assault, violence against women by players on Georgia's team, and they were players remaining on the team even after these things are reported and stuff. And so that's a bad look for them. And I think the investigation into that stuff isn't going to end. But it's also, you know, they're the defending national champ in a state where they have specially created FOIA laws, so they don't have to respond to stuff, and they have to respond to stuff as timely. And I'm skeptical that they're going to get, you know, any serious penalties out of this, but it is very much a you know, Georgia's become a place where the players are, you know, have done a lot of bad stuff over the last couple of years, and it gets hand waved away because they win.
Right. What's the drag racing stuff? I pretty much shut down any stories on Georgia after they won that title, so I didn't see any of that.
So the day after they won, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but 5 or 6 Georgia players have been arrested for driving in excess of, you know, 95 miles an hour or whatever in the roads around Atlanta, Athens. And some of them were racing. And in the day after the national title game, a player and a recruiting staff member died in a university car going 100 miles an hour. And this was, the Georgia guy that was drafted in the first round but fell a little bit was, you know, reportedly also at the scene racing them in his car. So it's a big thing for them, and it's a real problem, and it's, you know, kind of hasn't gone away, and it continues to happen. So
wow, not good. But of course Georgia has a history of being one of the problem children of the SEC. They don't seem to ever get in trouble for it as much as some do, but they certainly get on the police blotter a lot. I mean, I honestly can't think of a program that's had more violations of various rules and laws over the last 20 years than Georgia.
No, and it used to be like scooters and BB guns and that kind of stuff. But there's been plenty of other things, more serious things, too.
I mean, the whole Mark Richt tenure they used to talk about, it became a meme, yes. Right? It was a joke and it was happening all the time.
It was the Mark Richt is too nice and players get away with stuff. And now Kirby's apparently too nice.
I have a hard time believing. I think it's more like Kirby's too determined to keep winning, and so he's not going to doesn't want to lose any of his prize guys. So,
and if he runs off players who are good, then other players won't come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens out of this. Keep an eye on it. I guess the big thing that I was looking forward to talking about a little bit, and it's what I kind of headlined the show on, was that we know that there's more recruits in the pipeline. We're working on them. We're working on them. But there has been a development in the last 24 hours, as far as I know, which is that one of our really big targets, which is interesting in that he's an Alabama commit. I like the idea that we're full court pressing after Alabama commits, not just players that it's us or them, but players that's already committed to them. And so that's Perry Thompson, big receiver. Now, the thing with him was he's from, I believe, Foley, down in same area, South Alabama, down the coast. And my understanding was that our old friend
Potato
never made any effort to recruit him at all and just basically gave him up as gone from day one. And so he committed to Alabama. And
he said, Van, they were still evaluating.
Oh,
they weren't sure he was that good.
Right. Sure. That's right. Exactly. Well, he's supposedly the reincarnation, although he's not dead as far as I know, of Julio Jones, which immediately my antenna goes up. Right? Okay. Sounds, I'll take him. Yes, I'd love to have him. And so he was committed to Alabama. And then the freeze regime comes in. And, you know, old Coach Saban says, no, Hugh, stay away from him. To which our coach replied,
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
And so we start recruiting him with our guys. And, you know, I've always said if Cadillac and who's our defensive back coach that stayed? Zach Etheridge?
Yes. Yes.
If the two of them could recruit for
Potato,
then they can recruit for the Hugh Freeze regime, right? And so they're working on him. And the word on the street became that Perry Thompson had moved into roughly 50-50. He's committed to Alabama, but he really likes Auburn, and he's kind of 50-50, and there's no telling which way he'll go. Well, Alabama has a recruiting event weekend coming up, the same weekend as we are bringing back the old Big Cat weekend. And apparently Perry Thompson has announced he will not be attending the Alabama event. He will be attending Big Cat weekend. Well, no. Hold on. Sold the band. We don't know that means he's going to go with us. But it doesn't hurt, right? I mean, that's a good sign.
It is a good sign. I'm glad that we're doing well in recruiting, And I'm glad that we're making a big move on, you know, that we're going after top players and not settling. Right. Exactly. But I also have to say, we've all seen this song and dance before. And we have to be careful with players who have committed to Alabama and are big-time recruits in the state. I will believe that Perry Thompson will be an Auburn player when he runs out of the field in an Auburn uniform. Right.
But you know how I want to fantasize, though? Would this not be perfect? I just think this would be perfect. He stays committed to Alabama until the day before signing day. And on the day before signing day, John, he comes out and says, I am signing with Auburn University. Please respect my decision. I'm shutting down all contact. Oh, how many times have they done that to us?
Many.
Many. I would like to just do that to them one blessed time. Oh, I would just love for him to do that. It would be blow the roof
spectacular.
Off.
And honestly, if he flipped Auburn now, I would be worried. Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because the full court press is not going to stop from the other side.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's not going to stop if he commits to us. It's just going to continue. And then they'll start taking it personally and probably try even harder because they don't want to lose one. Right now, they can just laugh us off and say, oh, yeah, Auburn, yeah, he's committed to us. Y'all dream on. But if he actually committed to us, then they'd be like, uh-oh, boys, circle the wagons. Let's fire it up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with him being committed to Alabama all the way up until signing day. But I would love it, if he would do the old respect my decision, I'm shutting everything down. Oh, I wish that was it Kwanju, Cyrus Kwanju, the offensive lineman that changed his mind the last minute and then they made him change it back and everything? That would, if he had just like shut it down, nope, not saying anything, yeah.
It's 100. Reuben Foster,
TJ Yeldon.
Yep.
Yeldon was committed to us for like a year. And on the day, he's the one I'm primarily thinking of. Yeldon was committed to us for a year. And the day before signing day, he said, I'm changing to Alabama. I'm shutting it down. I'm not speaking to anybody. Amen. Goodbye. Good night. And I was just like, which is fine because it worked out. We did fine without him. We had, wasn't that when we had Trey Smith? No, Trey Mason. So we were fine. And Cap. So yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. But that's just something really, really big to keep your eyes on. I mean, you don't even know how he'll work out, but you've got to pull people like that. The part of this story that I want people to grip onto, though, right, the part that is really significant is not whether we get him or not. It's not how he does it. Those are all side issues. What matters is that we are trying to get players like that now. That we are fighting Alabama nose to nose for players like that. And that's what we've got to do.
No, we're not settling for the two or three star guys that we have the scraps left on the table. We're going after the biggest name players in Georgia and Alabama, Florida, other places, and making an effort to get those guys. And
with a realistic payoff. With a realistic chance. That's the other part.
And this is the other part. To get some good commits, a lot of four-star commits, but also to be in contention with some of these guys during the season, mm-hmm. and then we come out during the season and show something, mm-hmm. show some life, show a fun offense, a big play, yep. you know, passing offense, and players are like, I want to be there.
Absolutely. That's exactly it, yeah. So we'll see. Keep an eye on Perry Thompson. And there's others, too. There are other players. He's just the one everybody's kind of talking about now because he just tweeted out that about coming to Big Cat. I hope they blow off the roof on that Big Cat weekend and have a good old time. The last thing I had was I saw the new Indiana Jones movie, and no spoilers other than the villain has a connection to a certain college, university that we have a particular antipathy for around here, and it's so good. So if you go to see the new Indiana Jones movie, keep an ear out for when he mentions what academic institution he is affiliated with. I think that you'll appreciate it as much as I did. All right. Basketball news. We have the ACC-SEC Challenge coming up. And what's the latest on that?
So they announced this is the first year of this, and Auburn fans were eagerly anticipating this. And this past week, they revealed the matchups, and Auburn was matched up with Virginia Tech – We will be playing them the Wednesday after Thanksgiving at like 9 p.m. Central Time in Neville Arena.
So like 6 days after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay. How does that relate to, like, before we talk about Virginia Tech, how does that relate to like the Iron Bowl or whatever?
So the Iron Bowl will be on Thanksgiving's Thursday. The Alabama game will be Saturday. And the Virginia Tech game will be the next Wednesday.
Okay. And is that the
first? There might be a basketball game Friday night before the Iron Bowl.
Okay.
Or Sunday, but we haven't got the final schedule yet, but it's possible.
I would guess we would have at least one or two games before we play the ACC Challenge.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. There's a couple. We'll have three or four non-conferences before that at least.
All right. So what do you think about Virginia Tech?
Here's the deal. A lot of Auburn fans are disappointed. They wanted University of Virginia.
Yeah.
They wanted sure them did. To get sent to Neville Arena.
Yeah. It would have been uncontrolled pandemonium, John.
Instead, Texas A&M is going to Charlottesville and playing them. And so I get it. Apparently, it's set up where some teams are home teams in some years, and then it rotates. So UVA was supposed to be a home team this year. So I think maybe 2 years from now, Auburn will be the home team in the ACC matchup again, and I think we can get UVA then. I think next year, we've got to work it out at some point where we can play them. I don't want to play them in Charlottesville, but if that's what we get, then I'll take it. You know what I'm saying?
So there was it wasn't just random. I mean, they picked them for a reason or something.
I think with all of these kind of things, the hand of ESPN is there. Okay.
All right.
It's a TV thing, and I think they, as many people pointed out, they kind of blew some of the best possible matchups.
Yeah. Isn't that how Maradona scored that goal against England? The hand of ESPN.
Yeah, very, very true. Again, Texas A&M is coached by the former Virginia Tech coach. So, you know, he against Virginia Tech would have been a great matchup. Auburn against UVA would have been a great matchup.
Yeah.
There are some good ones. Duke at Arkansas will be great, right? Miami at Kentucky. We know Miami's really good.
Oh, yeah. That's a very intriguing matchup of two very different programs and styles.
And then Tennessee at North Carolina will be fun. So, again, there's some good games here. It will be a really fun thing. And it's like 2 days. You know, all the games are like at 7 or 9, basically, Tuesday, Wednesday night, that right after Thanksgiving. So I think it's going to be really fun. Yeah. I just want to take a moment to make the case for, you know, an Auburn-Virginia Tech basketball game and a future – I'd love to see a home-and-home football series. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I live in Virginia. My oldest daughter with Virginia Tech. Auburn and Virginia Tech are kindred spirits, okay? Yeah. They're the land-grant school of Virginia. They're good at the ag and engineering school. They have the other school across state that's the big snotty school of the doctors and the attorneys and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And that thinks they're better than everybody else. And Virginia Tech has been good in basketball in the last 10 years. They've been in the NCAA tournament a number of times. They've won a lot of games. It's going to be a good matchup. I mean, if you think Auburn's going to like roll over them, I think you should prepare yourself. So, but also I think I know a lot of Virginia Tech fans and I've been to many games on their campus. And I think Auburn fans would like Virginia Tech fans. I think they're very practical, down-to-earth people. Many of them have kind of a Southwest Virginia view of the world, which I think people in Auburn would respect and would feel some kinship to. So I think I just think Auburn and Virginia Tech have a lot in common. And I think it'll be a fun matchup. And I think I suspect some of their, they have a number of fans in Atlanta and other places. They're going to show up. It's a big deal to them too. And, I just feel like I'd love to see Auburn play. We played in the Sugar Bowl, right? But I'd love to see us play them again in a home and home where we could go to Blacksburg and they could come to Auburn. Because I could just tell you, like in the same way it was with the Penn State series, it would be really epic.
Weren't they always called VPI, Virginia Polytechnic Institute, just like we were API? So we got
they have some cheers that are like VPI. So yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Vippy.
We changed to Auburn, and they just shortened it to Virginia Tech. But it kind of started out the same, roughly the same thing. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Ah, no problem playing them. That's good. Yeah, I knew that your older one went there. And
I love the idea of the ACC Challenge. I can't wait till we play Duke or North Carolina or NC State or UVA or whatever. But it's a good thing, and there's going to be good matchups and good basketball. I bet that's the most important thing.
All right, next stop. I guess I'll do a little bit of this to get us going here. This is the position reviews. All right, so last time we looked at the kickers. So this time, hold on to your seats, everybody. Who are we looking at this time, John?
Punters. I'm going to ask you to remain seated for this part of the podcast. I know it'll be tough. We're talking about punting.
Stay calm.
For the next 35, 40 minutes or so, but please contain your enthusiasm.
Like the guy at the end of Animal House out there in the uncontrolled pandemonium going, everyone stay calm as he gets run over.
Remain calm. Yes. All is well.
All is well. All right. So, yeah, we're doing this. We do it every year, more or less. This is your baby. But we do it because, especially this year, we've had a lot of roster turnover. We got a lot of transfers in addition to new players. So we need to kind of look, get a sense of who's there. But I don't think we have a lot of turnover for this position. This shouldn't take too long. Fire us up on the punters.
No, but it's important because even with positions like this, so much has happened between now and the end of the season that you have to go back and look and go, okay, yeah, that's what happened there, and this is who's coming back, right?
Yep.
So Oscar Chapman is back.
Oscar.
He should be a contender for all SEC punter. We haven't recruited another punter. It's all the Oscar Chapman show. The backup is a walk-on freshman from Montgomery named Gabriel Russo, if he's related to the Russo brothers.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
And punting should be a strength. We just need to do it a lot less than we did last year.
Yes.
We were one of the most frequently punting teams in the SEC in the country, and that's not good.
Well, when your offense is so limited, you kind of have to.
Yes. Yes. On the other side, Chapman was really good, and our punt coverage and overall punting was very effective. He was second in the SEC in net punting.
Yeah, as I noted, that's a statistic that Vanderbilt usually dominates, is the punting awards in the SEC. So
the only school ahead of us was Florida, and they returned their punter. So it should be between he and Chapman for who's going to be the all-SEC punter in the preseason.
Oscar,
the Australian punter. He had only two touchbacks, but 18 kicks down inside the 20.
That's pretty good.
That's
pretty good.
It is pretty good. And we had the second fewest yards allowed in a punt return in the conference at 4.2 yards, which is pretty good, I feel.
That's pretty good.
And I think a lot of that was because he kicks the ball high and gives the coverage team time to get down there and make something happen or cause a lot of fair catches. So I think he was a very effective punter. I think he'd be a good weapon. We just need to use that weapon a little bit less frequently than we did this past year.
John, I just watched some of the 1982 Bo Over the Top Iron Bowl coaching show, the Pat Dye show.
Mm-hmm.
When Coach Dye first started talking about winning that game after they'd won it, right, and they're all emotional and everything, who was the first player? This is the Bo Over the Top game. Who was the first player Pat Dye singled out for praise to Phil Snow on the coach's show the next morning?
The punter.
He said, Lewis Colbert did a great job of punting out there.
He pinned him deep a lot.
He did. That's exactly right. I just thought that was very interesting. So before we make any fun of us talking about punters tonight, that was in a game with Bo Jackson, Lionel James, Randy Campbell, that great defense, and Al Del Greco. Oh, yeah. Greg Carr, Al Del Greco. First player he mentioned was the punter. By name, Lewis Colbert. That's right. So this is very important, especially when you're trying to build your offense back up after the depths that it was taken to by old...
Well, I'm not a crook.
No, not you. The other one. The other one.
Potato.
That one, yes. Yes.
I was going to say, Larry Nixon III's a current linebacker. We have no
problem. Good. I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, anyway, good deal. All right. So there is your position review from...
This has been
the 2023 Position Reviews Part 2. All right. So we'll mention again that I have read... How are you coming along with Deny of the Tiger?
I'm about halfway through Deny of the Tiger, making progress.
It's the Deny of the Tiger. There you go. So you're rolling right along. And we are going to talk about it when we're both done. And we're going to try to get Coach Borges to come on the show. That'll be very exciting. Very exciting. He has expressed interest. We just got to hook up.
And so if you have questions about that book and what he put in the book, or about, you know, Al Borges' tenure at Auburn and what he ran into and what he did, please let us know.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. All right. We got to pause to thank the folks who keep the lights on in the studios, although the lights were not on in the studios for the last 3 days, I got to tell you.
I was going to say, where were those people when the power was out?
Nor the air conditioner. It wasn't the patrons' fault. It was Ameren just got overwhelmed because they were running around. We have there. Allegedly, there's still parts of Illinois down here that don't have power right now after 4 days. This is the fourth day. I got up this morning.
Man, where are their priorities?
Well, where were they 3 days ago? But they, I got to tell you, waking up this morning and not just being immediately wanting to go get in a cold shower was just a nice feeling because it was so hot in my house. I came down here in the basement / palatial studios because this is like the only area of the house that was below 80 degrees. And I came down here and just hung out and read and stuff. So, yeah, when we have power, when we're doing this show, we do not have ads. We don't run ads. We depend entirely on you, our listeners, to keep our programs on the air. Go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com. As I always say, you can find a lot of cool stuff there. Links to our previous episodes. We have several highlighted episodes. Our entire run of We Believed, the mini audio series of like 8 episodes that became a book. They're all there. There are links to get our football books. There's links to get our new basketball, but within the last year basketball. You can find all kind of cool stuff at www.auwishbone.com. But you also can find, I forgot to move it up. There's a big orange button. I've piled too much stuff above it. You got to scroll down just a little bit. But if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll come to the big orange button to become a patron. Go to Patreon. It'll take you to Patreon where you can sign in. Here are the fine folks who have gone to www.auwishbone.com, and you can leave whatever name you want, and that's what I read. And so we have to thank. I'm trying to find. Hold on a second. Okay, we have to thank Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Boris the Tiger's Burner Account, Logan Chilton, Ann Kanjian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says... So good. You have to follow that. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. He says he had Dave Chappelle. It's actually Herman, the late Herman Cain, but
I don't have facts to back this up.
But John does this podcast while getting a pedicure at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
I didn't know that, John. You never told me that's where you were. It looks like your house, but okay. Who knew?
It's fake background, babe.
Fake back. Look at, they set up a studio for you down there at the foot massage. Here's where I always have to do the
tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
There we go. And for our newer listeners, that is the sound of the portal. That's right. That is the sound That is our song that indicates the portal is turning and players are coming to the plains. Alex Brown's Ben Bloodworth bleeds orange and blue. That's hard to say. All those together. Calibrating my fun meter at the back booth of
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
I hear the back booth, I think, of David Housel. So that's a different place. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby. I try not to tell dad jokes, but when I do, he thinks they're funny. I gotta get a sound effect for after a dad joke. It needs like a disco oomp, 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 that kind of a thing. I always read that wrong, too, but I'm going to get it right next time. If the early bird catches the worm, I'll sleep in until there are pancakes, says 76 Tiger Esquire Sleazy Shyster. Let's see. Random sound clip of this week is going to be...
In March Madness, let's shock the world!
Hadn't played that one in a while. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B, No One Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie, When Two Vegans Get in an Argument, Is It Still Called a Beef? Weagle Weagle, Wes, that's the name of our little bird upstairs, Wes Atkinson, Wes Byram, why don't grasshoppers watch football because they prefer cricket?
This is true.
I gotta get a sound effect for the jokes.
Come on. Come on, man.
That's pretty much it right there. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, what? Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Dibama. Oh, Dibama is at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That button's getting a lot of work this week. Hugo Slee says, thanks to LSU for making him the coach with only the second most vacated wins in all of college football. I was going through the other day looking at Alabama's records, and I'd forgotten that Alabama had to vacate just tons of games from the 2000s. Like, you know, unfortunately it was years that we were beating them anyway, but they had to like forfeit all their other wins those years.
People don't think that they've been penalized and busted for stuff. But
They almost got the death penalty. Way worse than us. Way worse than us. And they were like 2-12 that year. Josh Teal, just wait till next year. Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Ah! Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has a winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbread. It's called a pita parka.
Wrong!
Steven Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese. Can we get a Reynolds Wolf sound clip talking about let me see what I can do here. I'm just going to throw something together.
We have a Reynolds Wolf sound clip.
We have.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Smoke Thundersnow. A freeze is coming.
Yes, I kind of hit the wrong button there, but you got the idea. I'll work on that. I'll work on it. I didn't mean for smoke weed every day to... I'm going to do it again.
You know what?
Doing it again.
An unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
There you go. That's better.
Weed every day.
That was not what I was trying to push. Sometimes it just happens and I go,
oh my God!
Right, yeah.
So you're saying the soundboard is sentient. It knows when it wants
it. It just makes up its own mind sometimes. I say, soundboard, do what I say. And the soundboard says,
come after me!
That's right. I don't know. So anyway, I've totally lost track of, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane, I'm missing my category, mister. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, and finally, we
gotta get better at celebrating.
How do two cats end a fight? They hiss and make up. I am Tiger. I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, the Barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
A.K.A. Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
New York Tiger was accused of harassing the masseuse at...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Wow, some... Oh, he had the Hey Now on here, and I think I took it off. I'm going to give you...
For while you can, the monkey boy.
That's close enough. I'm sorry. I think I removed the Hey Now. I only had it for a very short time. Yeah, I'll give you what. You know what? Here is my current favorite sound clip, as John probably knows. For a while, it was the Kingdom of Heaven ones, but this is the one I really enjoy the most now because it's very versatile. And that is, if I mention anybody we don't like, then I just say...
There they are. Are they not a shame on their country?
Oh, I love it. That one's so good. That one's so useful. So useful. Here's one that I really like, but I never get to use it.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of your women.
That's what I predict for the Iron Bowl, of course, but we'll see if that plays Amen. Out. Yes. Let's see. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I am at the bottom of this list because...
God bless it!
That's a big one.
For while you can, the monkey boy.
That's a very big one. That one's a big one. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing John? He's Right, Brant Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. There you go, Patrick. That would be the fine folks keeping the lights on at the AU Wishbone and at White Rocket Studios this time around. And I was trying to find... Okay. All right. I lost track of a couple of our patrons, so I hope that they're okay. I have no problem with people ending their part of our... taking part in our Patreon. I always want to have new people coming in, though, to kind of balance that out. I just, when people disappear, I just worry something that they're okay or something hadn't happened to them. Okay, let's see. We got a couple of things to take care of here before we get into listener questions. The quick fantasy Formula One update. There was a race finally this past weekend at the Red Bull Ring in Austria that has the St. Louis Arch, oddly, in the middle of the track with a bull jumping through it, which is so weird. And... our top four have not changed. Teamy McTeamface is number one. Tiger Transit's number two. Cheeky Nando's number three. Scuderia Toro Plexico is number four. Sir Bacon the First is up to fifth. Mississippi Racing is down to sixth. Scuderia Aguila Guerra is down to seventh. And then Albimobile, Smokescreen 45, and Solitaire are 8, 9, and 10. And I was thinking when I looked at this, and I mentioned to John earlier before the show, the top four haven't changed. I suspect we've got the same drivers and teams on our teams, and so we're just not, there's no separation. So we'll see how that plays out. That could be interesting as we continue into the second half of the season after the summer break comes up. All right, we have a guess the game. We do indeed. We do indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We have a guess the game. Are you ready, John?
Bring it on. Who
can be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 98. Guess the Game 98 is brought to you by Wiggaber. So let's see what Wiggaber sent in this time around.
They fake it inside. Keeps on the option. He pitches to the 35-40. 45-50. The 45-40. He's at the 35. He may go all the way. 25-20. 50-10-5. Touchdown. What a run. By Holy, cut it down to short side option and cut it all the way back.
All right, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
Okay, that's a tough one. Do you know who that was?
I'm pretty sure that was Wiggaber in his kitchen on a tape recorder with his family in the living room cheering. That's what it sounded like to me. It did not sound like
I feel like that was like a very early Auburn radio recording, like from the early 80s.
But it was really good quality. That was usually when they're from back then, the audio recording isn't very good quality, right? It's like staticky or whatever.
Yes.
That sounded like it was recorded a couple of days ago of a game from 50 years ago. So we know it was from before the era of like ESPN and everything, surely.
Well, I mean, it seemed like it to me. It did. Again, that's the kind of play, the short side option play that Gus would have run, but it didn't sound like that to me. I thought that sounded like an 80s play.
Yeah. Oh, at least. Maybe 70s.
So, maybe 70s.
I mean, so first thing came to my mind was like a Joe Cribbs or James Brooks.
Yes.
Maybe Lionel James.
Lionel early. James.
Yeah. Nothing.
One of the.
Everything of before three. Bo. Pre-Bo.
I feel like we were running the option.
Yeah. But we didn't put that in until 81 with Pat Dye. We were running like a power eye formation with Barfield in the late 70s.
So it could have been 81, 82.
It didn't. But Jim Fife was with us when Dye started in 81.
Okay.
Maybe something from 80. Maybe Lionel James from 80 or James Brooks from 79 or something.
I think we got to go hit file.
Maybe it was like a bowl game.
Okay.
And so everybody was different and there wasn't a huge crowd, maybe?
Like, before the Sugar Bowl in 83, what bowl game did we go to like in 82?
82 Tangerine Bowl against Doug Flutie's Boston College. No bowl until you go back to like 74 Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl.
I'm going to say, I like this idea. I think in that 82 bowl game, and it could be like a Lionel James play or something.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to plumb the depths of what we could get out of it before we go to the hint file. So we're thinking late 70s, early 80s, specifically maybe a bowl game. As late as the 82 bowl game, just different announcers, a different network than we're used to, maybe not even television, maybe they had some kind of a recording of like the Westwood One radio broadcast of it or something. Is that what that was or something? You know, there's no telling, but it's something unorthodox that we're not used to from back in that era. Because, I mean, when you go back to like 72 and Punt Bama Punt, they're like, oh, here goes our runner. It is good. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't.
In the field.
That was very clear. That was spookily clear. All right, going to the hint file. But that was really interesting. All right, here we go.
Welcome to the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps. Give it a listen.
They fake it inside. Troutman keeps on the option. He pitches to Brooks at the 35-40. 45-50. Brooks at the 45-40. He's at the 35. He may go all the way. 25, 20, 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. What a run by James Brooks. Oh, he cut it down to short side option and cut it all the way back.
Mm-hmm. Yep, indeed. Sounds like an old school one. I will see you in the answer file.
Yep. I just had a funny feeling about Brooks there. So Cribbs was the featured back up through 78. Brooks played alongside him in 78, but 79, I think, was Brooks's year. I don't know if we had Brooks in 80 or not. I want to say 79 was his last year, maybe.
I don't remember.
I know in 80, Lionel James was a freshman, but in 81 was Lionel James pretty much by himself, and he got some help in 82 from a certain young man from McAdory. But yeah, I'm gonna say that was 79 against like Georgia Tech or somebody. How do you feel about that?
I like it.
All right, let's see.
All right, guys, if you figured out that this is James Brooks running wild on Georgia in 1979, which led to a 33-13 win for our beloved Tigers, then hey, you figured it out. Thanks, Wiggaber, for sending that in. James Brooks running wild on Georgia in 1979,
I got
which led to a 33-13 win for our beloved Tigers, then hey, you figured it out. Thanks, Wiggaber, for sending that in. If you'd like to
How's
be like Wiggaber and send in a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can hit me up in lots of different places. I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly at Jarrod, J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Morgan.
So close. James Brooks in 79 against Georgia instead of Georgia Tech. Yeah, I remember now that we beat Georgia in kind of a big upset. In fact, was that one of the orange jersey games, maybe?
Maybe. And again, think about this. This is 79. In 80, Georgia wins a national title. So they were good then.
Oh, yeah, they were very good. Yeah. And, I mean, they didn't have Herschel yet, right? 80 was his freshman year. But they were really, really good. They had that defense. But the thing that got me was how clear that audio was. That messed me up because, I mean, we ended up focusing in the right era, but I had a hard time coming to grips with the idea that the audio sounded that good. So Jared, I want to know where you got that one from. He'll tell us.
I was going to say, that audio is a little freaky. Somebody have a record of that or a special recording or something?
He'll tell us.
And also, I think I think we've reached we're pushing the limits of what Van and I can do with Guess the Game when we have a game in 79.
Yeah.
If it was at Auburn, I was potentially at that game, but I don't know how many games in the 70s I've listened to on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was fun though. I mean, we were all over it. We had the right era. So that's good. Good job. Well done. All right. So I guess at this point.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
So what's in the mailbag this week? Don't tell me nothing. Don't tell me nothing.
It's not nothing. The listeners listened, and they delivered.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right. This is first one's from Steve. It's a theoretical question. You are able to travel to another dimension. In this other dimension, Gus Malzahn hires Hugh Freeze as his offensive coordinator instead of Chad Morris. Would you choose to live in that other dimension?
It's a trap.
And what color is the sky there? I mean, that's plausible. Saban wanted to hire him, right?
He did. And supposedly the SEC said no.
They were saving him for our use, thank goodness. No, I like the idea because what he's saying is so what year did we bring in? Was it 20? I think it was 20, the COVID year. Because 19, we had the kid that just got hired as the young head coach at Arizona State, right? Wasn't he 19?
Kenny Dillingham.
Dillingham. Because that was Bo Nix's first year, and I think that he...
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
and
right.
Now he, and
that's
now he's right. coaching him. And, he was coaching him at Oregon, yeah.
Yes. And before that, we had SMU coach Rhett Lashley for a while.
Oh, yeah, 13 through 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then 17 and 18, we had the guy that was our former analyst. And then 19, we had Dillingham. And then 20, we had Morris. And wow, did that not work out?
Chad Morris. Chad Morris, not good.
No. So the good question then is, if in 2020 we'd had Hugh Freeze as our offensive coordinator, would that have been Gus's last year? Or would we have won enough games that Gus would have hung around another year?
Would Freeze have been so much better in addition to the offensive staff that he revitalized the offense and turned it around and helped on the recruiting side?
I think probably. I think that Gus would have kept it. Because remember, they didn't want to fire Gus with all that money. They wanted to put it off as long as they could, but they felt like we were to the point of, you know, because we could all see where it was going with 2020. I think it would have given Gus
It was the momentum and the arc at that point in the program, so I get it.
Yes, absolutely. As much as we love Gus personally, and as much as I do rate him as a good coach, I think it was just one of those change of scenery things that we just needed to do something different. Of course, the thing that we ended up doing different was so much worse. So much worse. But it hopefully led the way to this. Being good. So, again, the question is basically, what would you want to be an alternate universe where that happened? I don't know. I mean,
well, I was going to say, in this alternate universe, my theory is, the steel stop the steel coup becomes the freeze coup, and he's in the plot to succeed Gus, and then we can't hire him as head coach.
Oh man, if that's the case, then it did work out right. So, yeah, that's a really good what if, good hypothetical situation. I like that question. That's good. I guess that's
about as far
as I
can. We had several questions about the SEC network takeover Auburn's thing, and so our first one is from frequent question asker Bill Miner, who says, since today was Auburn's SEC network takeover day, my question is, how would you fill 24 hours of programming for just Auburn games? My list includes 6 football and 3 basketball games, so roughly 24 hours. So he says for him, for football, Auburn, Florida, 1994, Auburn, LSU, 2004, Auburn, LSU, 2010, Auburn, Florida, 2007. Auburn, Alabama, 2013, mm-hmm. Auburn, Alabama, 1982. And then in basketball, he has Auburn, Tennessee, SEC championship game in 2019, Auburn, Kentucky, 2019, in the NCAA tourney, and then Auburn and Alabama in the SEC championship game in 1985.
Auburn and Alabama, when we beat them in the tournament.
Yes. Yeah, we won our first SEC.
Yeah. I watched that tournament. Game live. I remember every bit of it. I remember the free throws at the end. I was a nervous wreck. We talk about that in the book. Been a while, I guess, since I've gotten to say that. We talk about that in the book. No, those are good choices. What are you thinking for your choices? Are there any particular ones that you want to include? You have to do the whole thing.
I would pick 24 hours of Auburn beating Alabama in sports. Yes. Multiple sports, but it would always be the same result. Auburn beats Alabama. I don't care. Like different seasons, different sports, you know, softball, baseball, equestrian, football, basketball, but I would have us beating Alabama. So I'd have, you know, like 2013, 2019, and have 89, you know, I'd have some basketball games in there, then some other sports too. That's my theme. That's
all right. I want to cut completely against the grain from you guys. I love your choices. I think those are both inspired, but here I'm going to cut completely against the grain. I want to have the 1985 Florida State game where it was like dead even till the fourth quarter, and then we ran up like five straight touchdowns on them just to bury them at the end. All right, so I got 85 Florida State. I'm pulling these out of my butt. I would have the not the 94 LSU that's been done to death. I want to kind of go zig instead of zag. I want to zag instead of zig. I would have the how about the 1997 Iron Bowl? Where it was a close game and they fumble on the last possession and we get to kick the field goal, maybe. I really want to have the 2009 West Virginia rain game.
That's a great call.
I want to have the 2010 Arkansas game that we were just talking about. That is a great, great shootout.
How about the 2013 SEC championship game against Missouri?
Oh, that was a great game. Yeah, because Missouri hung around the whole way and like led a couple of times, and you're like, oh my goodness, and then we just put the hammer down at the end. That's a really good call. Yeah, and you know, honestly, you know, there have been, I think, three big epic games that Auburn has won since 2013. It's sad to say that we haven't really had huge epic wins. Can you tell me what you think my three big epic wins for Auburn have been since Gus's first year was over, since the Florida State Rose Bowl fiasco?
I mean, I think 2017 Georgia and Alabama. I think about those games.
Yes, and then the other obvious one, more recently. There's really only one more recently.
I mean, 2019.
Yes, that's the three. That's it. That's the three, 2017 Georgia, 2017 Alabama, 2019 Alabama. The fact that that's it shows you, it says a lot about why we did end up. I mean, Gus gave us, I would go so far as to say that there were maybe seven great, great Auburn wins during his tenure. 13 Georgia, 13 Alabama, 17 Georgia, 17 Alabama, 19 Alabama, and then like, a couple of other the 13 games, the SEC championship game,
championship
13.
Game.
Yeah, and maybe one or two others, and that's really all we had to choose from for a whole decade. You had to go all the way back to Cam. So yeah, it's too bad, but there you go.
All right, that was good. That was good conversation. We have some more of that coming up in a minute. Our next email was from frequent emailer Cato the Barner.
Yep.
Who says the title of his email is Fire Hugh Free? Oh, I mean Mickey Dean. He says, "Hey fellas, since it's the off season, I know you thought you were safe from me complaining about Mickey Dean. Sorry to disappoint.
Mickey Dean.
Not sure if you saw the drama on Twitter, but senior softballer Carly McCondry came out and stated she would not be returning for her fifth year. She also had the option to transfer elsewhere, but after the treatment from this coaching staff, she simply quit softball altogether.
Oh, my God.
She started 108 out of 119 games these last 2 years, but because she had a slump at the end, Dean benched her and didn't even let her take a single at bat on senior day in her last home game of her Auburn career. Factor in multiple other players leaving, including two who started in every single game this year, and we've now lost three of our top six hitters who had the option to return to Auburn next season and chose not to. McCondry isn't the only one who trashed the staff on the way out, so there's no telling what's going on behind the scenes that we're not seeing. But hey, the incoming class of recruits is amazing, and next year's going to be our year, just like it has been for the last 5 years. Thanks, Cato the Partner.
I'm glad that Cato keeps us in the loop and up to speed on what's going on with the softball crowd. It's hard to believe that they don't see that and haven't done anything.
They had a little bit of a winning thing, and they were, you know, I think the feeling was they were going in the right direction, but the player exodus, the good player exodus in the offseason is really bad.
Yes.
It looks bad and it smells bad, like something's happening behind the scenes there. So
it does. I mean, and how does everybody else not see that?
Well, I think they do, but I think it's tough to fire him when he's winning unless there is like something else happening. So I'm sure people are asking questions. I'm going to say that.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
What else?
Our next question is from listener Clinton Stewart, who says, hey guys, Clinton Stewart of Chris and Clinton Stewart patron fame.
Oh, yes.
Wants to know
absolutely.
If Van plans to make a soundboard clip, something like the 10:30 p.m. University of California time slot of death, loosely based on the Jefferson Pilot time slot of death clip. I like it. Maybe you should have the person falling asleep while they're doing the sound clip.
All right. Hold on. I'm making a note. Make sound clip for what time is that game starting? Like 9:30?
10:30 p.m. Eastern.
Oh my gosh. The Cal. Well, I was gonna do a Cal anyway, so I'll just incorporate that into it. I probably wouldn't have thought of it without that suggestion from Mr. Stewart. But now I'll incorporate the fact that it's gonna be that late into what I end up doing.
All right. And then our last email is from Auburn Elvis, who says, today is Auburn Day on the SEC Network. So besides the obvious answer, which is Equestrian winning a fifth straight SEC championship, what's been your favorite Auburn moment shown today? And I can say without hesitation, the Auburn-Texas A&M home game from last year that we attended Coach Cadillac Williams came out on the field and the whole stadium went bonkers. And then he won, and we went more bonkers. And we were there.
That was so good. Such a good game. Such a great game. Such a good trip. You and I were there. We went to the basketball game. That was a blast. Saw my brother. Went to the football game. Jared was there. Kathy was there. Man, what a great Auburn Elvis was there. Reynolds Wolf was there. What a weekend. Oh, a whole bunch of other folks came by. I keep remembering other parts of it. It was so big.
Yes, that's right. We had the book signing. And a lot, we saw a ton of people.
Oh, a bunch of my relatives even.
Karen Henson.
Karen? Yeah, Karen was there. That's right. So many people. That was one of the best weekends of my life. I guarantee you it was. It was fantastic. It really was great. So, yeah, and we sold like 100 books, 50 of each of the two books.
And beat Jimbo.
And we beat Jimbo. That's right. I didn't get to say, because I've got a quick around the SEC. But I didn't think to say, I think we covered all the other around the SEC and the news items like Mallet and all that. But I wanted to say, though, I didn't mention what else I would put on there besides football games. I would want to show Auburn beating the snot out of North Carolina and Auburn beating the snot out of Kansas. Those two from the 2019 Final
the
Four.
The Kansas game. I just laughed.
I would show both of those. Unfortunately, you got to include the injury.
If you show the North Carolina game, it's a Chuma's injury.
You're gonna get Chuma's injury, yeah, Okiki. But it's almost worth it just to show us beating Carolina that badly. But yeah, that's a really good choice. I think I agree. And honestly, one of our Kentucky wins at home, one of those like from like a year or two ago that was so good. Yes. And then the one where my nephew was there and everything. Yep. It was so great. They were out there all night.
Camp out.
The camp out, yeah. And then, you know, the other thing I would show? I would show a couple of I'll be winning the national championship mascot competitions at Disney. Got to include the goat tiger. I tweeted out a picture of him. Did I say this already? I tweeted a picture of him at the 82 Iron Bowl. He looks so different. I was trying to explain to my wife. I'm like, she's like, why does he look so different? I'm like, because they used to use like tiger fur, not, you know, fake tiger fur. And when they wore out the last one, they went to the company to get more, and they said they couldn't get any more. They weren't making that tiger pattern anymore. And so Auburn just said, all right, well, in that case, let's just change it to something we know we'll be able to get in the future. And that's when he went from being kind of like actual tiger colored to orange, because he's cartoon tiger colored now. He's just orange, you know. And I love it. I think he looks great. I like him orange. Yes. But they made that change somewhere in the mid-'80s. And that's why if you look at, if you watch early 80s Auburn football games, Aubie's wearing kind of like burnt orange, kind of brownish, you know, looks like real tiger fur. And if you look starting in like 86, 87, 88, somewhere in there, suddenly he looks like he does now in orange. It's a completely different, he molted basically. He shed his skin and he has a new skin. Good old Aubie. So that's what I would show.
Not the molting.
Yeah. So there was an around the SEC I was going to ask you about. And now I can't remember what it was, so oh well. I don't have any other around the SECs. I think we covered everything in the news segment. So
I have it's not around the SEC, but I have a closing thought here, Van.
Fire it up, and we'll wrap up and get out of here.
I hate the University of Massachusetts.
It's always UMass Hate Week on the AU Wishbone, John. It's always.
Hate Week 2023.
It's gonna be hard, Van, that one.
As you take a moment with your family tomorrow to celebrate July 4th and the birth of this great nation, don't forget to take a few moments to think about how much you hate the University of Massachusetts Minutemen.
They're the only Minutemen we're allowed to hate on July 4th. You got to respect the militia.
Even on July 4th, we hate those guys.
You respect those colonial militia, but even on July 4th, you're allowed to hate the UMass Minutemen. They gave us nothing but grief.
They were always overrated.
Oh, they gave us Tony Barbee. Now you can stop right there.
It was a bunch of Yankee propaganda.
Oh, yeah, they're going to come in the stadium, and Benjamin Franklin's going to be like,
there they are. Are they not a shame on their country?
That's exactly right. All right, I think we can wrap it up on a high note there. But I'll work on the Cal sound clip for next time, and other
something for all of us to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it myself. I don't know if I can top the fife and drum. That was your idea. You said put something on there with a fife and drum, and I'm like, oh my gosh, where in the world am I gonna? And you ask, and YouTube delivereth. It's amazing how they giveth. So, all right, that's gonna do it for this week. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.